Blog Talk Radio.
Well, blessed be the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth forevermore, for he liveth and makes intercession for his saints. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, I am so excited to be back on Blog Talk Radio right here broadcasting live from the city of Las Vegas, Nevada. Let me ask you something. Can any good thing come out of the city of Las Vegas? Well, come and see for yourself. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I am so glad that Jesus saved me in the city of Las Vegas. And they say that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And I've been asked to go out into the whole world. But I tell you what Jesus is doing. He's bringing the whole world into the city of Las Vegas. On the other side of the line, I have a very dear friend and pastor, evangelist. He's gifted in the prophetic, him and his wife, Doreen Bajo. Pastor Ruben Bajo is standing by. I'm going to turn him loose in just 1 second. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He moved in from California to work, amen, to work for Jesus Christ. And what we are about is to go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come. Amen. We are soul winners for Jesus Christ here in the city of Las Vegas. And I think we're going to be talking about in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 47. It said they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Pastor Ruben Bajo, are you there?
I am here. I'm so glad to be with you, Jesse. It's a privilege and an honor to be speaking the word of God with you. So praise the Lord.
Okay. I know he's got more than that to say. If he's holding his cell phone and all he's got to do is just dial that number again. Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me continue here. I'm going to start reading, and while we have Pastor come back online, amen. Let me see what I get out from the
Pastor.
Okay, brother. Okay. We can hear you going off and on, but blessed be the name of the Lord.
Okay, I got as far as where you were talking about
I am going.
Verse 47, they were praising God, having favor with all of it, the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved.
Did you get that?
Okay, go ahead and repeat that, brother.
Okay. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the word of God reads, they were praising God, having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the
okay. I forgot to tell you to put some headphones on. Headphones on with a microphone.
Okay.
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay,
but keep on ministering,
the scripture,
brother.
It was talking about that they were adding to the church daily, and
okay,
one of the things that we can see is this was a result. This was a result of the baptism of the Holy Ghost coming upon them, that the church
yes.
was added daily. One of the things that we read, it says that in verse 42, if we go up a little bit, it says.
Amen.
They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship
yes.
in breaking bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonder signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold all their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. When we get to verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
Well, one of the things that I want to point out here for the people that are listening here is that all of these things, them gathering together in unity, being steadfast in the doctrine of the apostles, breaking bread from house to house in prayers, all of these things was a result of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost coming upon them, because none of these things had taken place prior to the day of Pentecost. This was a result of something that happened in the day of Pentecost. So we see that they had fellowship with one another. We don't see that they slandered one another. They were divided, having different doctrines, wooden fellowship, but they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. From the very beginning, we understand that they were waiting for the promised Messiah. They were waiting for someone that was going to baptize them with the Holy Ghost and fire. So they waited for a promise. We read in Acts chapter 2 that all of them, there was 120 disciples in the upper room. And just to let us know that they weren't lacking any kind of finances from the Lord.
Thank God.
A common house in Israel was like a 12 by 12, a rooftop. So in order to get 120 men on the rooftop, somebody out there was being blessed by God. There was enough to go around with all of them when they put everything together. They were adding to the church daily and everybody's needs. I see it says every man had need. Everything was, nothing was lack. God provided provision for them, and it was on a continual basis. We read in 46 that they continually, daily, in one accord in the temple, breaking bread. So somebody was pouring out blessings from heaven. The bread from heaven, like in the Old Testament, that they didn't understand when it says that they came to his own, but his own received them not. But to them that believed on his name, to them he gave power and authority to become the sons of God. And so in the Old Testament, we see that the manna that had came down in Moses' day, they all got together and they were saying, what is it? What is it? They didn't know what it was. But Jesus said, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. So we see in the Old Testament, he was raining manna back then. And we see right here in the early part of the church that they were breaking bread and they were giving bread to every person as they needed. So he was the same provider in the Old Testament, which is only a shadow of things to come. He's the same God that we serve in the New Testament. He's the same God of Joseph. He's the same God that we serve today. So if anybody out there has a need, guess what? God is able to provide. Our God is more than miraculous, and he's given us some power that we need to tap in. The church needs to tap into the power of the Holy Ghost, because once we get a baptism of the Holy Ghost, our life could never be the same. See, these disciples were always ordinary men, but once the anointing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with fire came and touched their life, guess what? There was miracles manifesting all over the place. They got in one mind, one accord. They stood in fellowship continuously, God working with them with many signs, wonders, and miracles.
It is so powerful when the Church of Jesus Christ comes together in unity and in fellowship and in breaking bread and having all things in common in one accord, hallelujah, that there be no division, then God has room to work, amen. And
amen.
And not only that, through the power of prayer, I'm just going to read some. It says, four things they continued steadfastly in, they continued in the apostolic teaching, Matthew 28:20, in fellowship, 1 John 1:1-7, in the Holy Ghost, in communion, and
Amen.
In prayer, blessed be the name, and in prayer, continually in prayer, blessed be the name of the Lord. Go ahead,
Amen.
Pastor.
Amen. But, you know, here's another thing that we could look at here is that they had singleness of heart, which means Jesus said if your eye is single, your whole body will be single. So when our eye is single, it's called a vision. When your eye is double, that means it's called division. And so we're supposed to be single, as Jesus said. I pray that the Father be one, like that they become one, like me and the Father are one. So our eye got to be single so we can have a clear vision. When we don't have a clear vision, then it becomes division. And then not only do we have division, we become double-minded, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. So they continued with the apostles' doctrine. They continued with the voice of the shepherd. It was one voice they were listening to. They weren't listening to all kinds of strange voices. And the scripture tells us that when we listen to too many masters, it brings greater confusion. So they continued with one doctrine. Okay, one doctrine. The word doctrine literally means a body.
Amen.
And so it was one body. And so the body that it was talking about was the body of Christ, the Christos, okay, the anointing. It was one body. Okay, that many members coming together bringing one body. When he told Peter, he said, you are Peter, the rock. And he said, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. When he changed his name, he told them that, Peter, you're part of this little rock, because Jesus was the big rock. So he was changing Peter's name from Peter to Rocky. And so he was going to give him victory, because any little rock has to come from a piece of the big rock. So we are all lively stones. When we're all lively stones, we need to be alive. And if we're lively stones, it says this, if nobody praises God, then the rocks are going to cry out. No rock is going to outpraise me. Glory to God. You spoke on something that's pretty interesting. It says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And we're talking about Psalms 133. And so when we see that the unity of the faith, that we all come into the unity of faith unto a perfect man. It doesn't say perfect men. It says one man, that we become one. Okay, one. So when David was talking about how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, one of the things that I like to share with this is that first the anointing, which I'm going to read Psalms 133.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm going to read this because this is so powerful right here. Psalms 133, it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded his blessings, even life forevermore. And the first thing I want to point out is that when the anointing hit the head of the priest, the oil begins to bring down all of the dirt, all of our stinking thinking. As you see, sometimes when somebody perspires and then it comes down, it brings down some of the dirt that's coming off of our perspiration. And so I believe that when the anointing comes, it cleans out all of the way we used to think, because we could have had some misconceptions of God. But when God anoints our head with fresh oil, it changes the way we think. And when we start changing the way we think, then a miracle isn't that difficult for God to do, because we thank God that we're not strangers to his miraculous no more. We live in the realm of miracles because God is a God of miracles. And one of the things we can see is once the disciples, once they experienced this resurrection power of Jesus Christ, their life could never be the same. So I'm telling you that is out there, if you can get a hold of the power of God and understand that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you and quickens your mortal body, the most difficult thing to do is resurrect the body. But if God can do that, nothing is impossible with God. So once the disciples begin to believe in the resurrection and they had evidence that Jesus came back and taught them for 40 days and for 40 nights the secrets of the kingdom, once they believed in the resurrection, their life could never be the same. And so for those people that are struggling out there and they need some hope because they feel like they're trapped, they're enchained, they're bound, and if Satan has them defeated, they might be out there lost on drugs, they might be out there facing a criminal charge, but God makes a way where there seems to be no way. God can open up the prison doors and set the captives free. God will anoint our head with fresh oil, and we begin to start believing that God is able. And Jesus, when he said this, "I pray, Peter, that your faith would not fail you."
Thank you, Lord. This
is what we need, is we need to have our mind transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we would have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, then there would be nothing for us to think that would be impossible with God. And so when we start thinking nothing is impossible with God, we'll start speaking like there's nothing impossible with God. Because what happens is when that anointing comes, it breaks the yokes, okay? And that day, that yoke will be broken because of the anointing. So the crown that we're wearing, bondage, represents bondage. It represents the curse. When the anointing comes and hits the crowns of our head that Adam got us into from the very beginning, from the fall of man, when that anointing comes, it breaks that crown of yoke. It breaks a yoke, and then we are set free. And then he exchanges. This is the exchange plan for God. He changes us, beauty for ashes, a spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise. So once that crown is broken, okay, that curse is broken, and he transforms us, and he puts a crown over our head, we become a king. See, one of the interesting things we can read about the story about David, David was anointed three different times. He was anointed as a prophet, he was anointed as a king, and he was anointed as a priest. So the first thing that he was anointed to be king over Israel by Samuel. And so then that curse was broken because of the anointing. See, that's what the enemy doesn't want people that are out there that are lost. They don't want them to get to a church that's anointed. They don't care if they just go into fellowship. He just doesn't want you to get to a church that you're anointed, where people believe and pray and fellowship, and the anointing is being preached, and the anointing of the Spirit is going out, is speaking out of lips of clay and breaking yokes and setting captives free. He don't care if you just go to a church where it's lukewarm, where people do nothing. He just doesn't want you to get to a church where it's anointed, where you can be set free, delivered. Because if he has you still in doubt, in bondage, and you're still in there and struggling, then guess what? You haven't had the victory yet. But if you ever get to a church that is full of the Holy Ghost, that is church that is living up to Acts, then they're going to speak the word with power and resurrection and with fire sent down from the Holy Ghost, and people will be delivered right there in the seat. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's still the same healing Jesus, and the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know what? It says, therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this is what you're talking about, Pastor Reuben. And be not conformed to this world. And when you were talking about when they decide to split, to leave the things of the world, we work in the world, we're out in the world, but we are not of the world. Amen. So now that's what you were talking about, is that, you know, it's okay to be out there, because sometimes we need to be out there, the highways and byways, and compel them to come. Amen. But to come into the church and get delivered and get set free and start working with the apostles and with the evangelists and with the prophets and the pastors and the teachers and the helps in the ministry in one body, in one accord, amen, not forsaken, together. I think we have someone on the line. Are you still on the line there, brother? Okay, we had a caller. We had a caller on the line. But anyway, Pastor Ruben, and that's what it's about. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And
amen.
That is so awesome. What else do you got, Pastor Ruben Bajo?
Well, look, there's three different anointings.
Full armor. Go ahead.
There's three different anointings that we need to understand here. The scripture tells us the threefold cord is not easily broken, and Jesus resurrected on the third day. So I believe that some people are looking still for that double portion of the anointing, okay? But there is a different kind of anointing. I think they're kingdom people, they're third day people, people that walk into the holies of holies and receive messages from the Holy Ghost. And see, once you come out of the holies of holies, you could never be the same person. You can't be the same person going and seeing the face of God and coming out of the holies of holies and be the same. See, when we see this, we see the anointing of David. David was anointed, like I said, as a priest, a king, and a prophet. And so we understand that the anointing ran from down from his head to his beard, and the beard represented the authority. Okay, Aaron wore a beard, Samson wore a beard, David had a beard, Ezekiel. We understand that the beard represented the authority, or it was the word of God. And so one of the things that we need to understand is that when they came to shame, they would always shave them off. They'd want to cut off their beard. We see that when Joseph was brought into the Pharaoh's court, the first thing that they did is they shaved him. And it was a sign of humility. So the first thing the enemy wants to do is stop us from preaching the word. That's what he said. Mm. He doesn't say bring them to salvation. He says preach the word. Many got saved. Preach the word. And see, that's what the world wants us to do today, is be politically correct. Okay, they don't want us to preach the word. They want us to live nice, comfortable lives, but don't preach the word because you'll offend somebody. But the gospel is a friend, is an offense. It is an offense to those that are perishing, but to us that believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. So the enemy wants to cut off our beard. He wants us from speaking the word. That's what he wants us to stop us, speaking the word, because how could people get saved unless they hear the word? How will they know unless there be a preacher, unless they be sent? So the word has to go forth and be preached in the highways. Where did he say? Go to the highways and to the byways and break hedges and compel them to come in. Hedges is a form of bondage. Hedges is a thing of possession, okay, and of ownership. So the enemy has a hedge around people, and he doesn't want us to go in and break those hedges. He wants us to preach a word that's not going to break that hedge.
Yes.
He wants us, the anointing, he says, in that day, the yoke will be destroyed. In other words, there'll be nothing of it left. It'll be destroyed because of the anointing.
Thank you, Lord.
And so the enemy doesn't mind if we go and just preach a little soft message and just break a couple of those thorns, but don't destroy that whole hedge where they're going to be set free totally. See, if the enemy knows that he can have us in bondage every so often, then he still got us. Okay. Most people think that if you're demon possessed, that you got to be possessed 24/7. Then everybody would really know. Everybody would really know that was a satanic attack. But he doesn't do that. He says he deceives the whole world. So he doesn't want everybody to be totally possessed 24/7. Just like a person cannot walk under the anointing 24/7. See, the anointing comes on people for service. The Spirit of God comes, the Holy Ghost comes on people for service.
The Lord.
God only anoints servants. So we see here one of the things in this chapter, we see that the anointing went down from the head to their beards. And the beard represented the word of God, the authority of God. So when they would cut the beard off, then guess what? It would stop it from going to the skirts of their garment. See, the priests had to wear the garments, and that oil would run all the way from their head to their beard to the skirts of their garment. And so one of the things that we can see is that the skirts or the garments represent our walk. Okay, if we start thinking the Word of God, if we meditate on the Word of God, and we start saying the Word of God, eventually we'll be transformed. We'll start walking like the Word of God. And so when Peter was transformed, Peter wasn't walking on water. Peter was walking on the Word of the Lord, because Peter said, "Lord, if this be you," and he knew this, that if God speaks this, nothing is impossible with God. Because God was a great architect in the Old Testament, and the New Testament, he's still the carpenter. So we see that the Bible says that the Old Testament is only a shadow of things to come. And so he was forming the foundations of the universe in the Old Testament. So he was building the universe. And then, so when Peter said, "If this is you, you have power to allow me to walk on water. Yeah, you could even have me walk on space if you want me to." And so he spoke the word, and he said, "Come." And so he was walking on God's word, because God holds all things by the word of his power. He tells the sun when to come out. He tells the moon how far to come. He tells the ocean, "This is where I draw the line in the sand." So when we see these things here, if we get our mind right and we get our word right and we'll get our walk right, then what happened? There was an anointing that was being released by the priest, because when they came out of the temple, there was oil following them. And people that were outside the temple can see that oil on the dirt. And David said it this way, "Goodness and mercy will follow me all of the days of my life." He called it the oil of gladness. Because what happened is, the dirt represents the curse. The oil represents the blessings. Now, the curse, when Adam did not get cursed, it was the ground. God cursed the ground.
The ground.
But Adam came from that dirt. But when the oil of gladness, okay, hit the dirt, that when Adam was dead in trespasses, now he becomes alive. The first Adam was a living soul. The second Adam was a quickening spirit. So when he walked out of the temple, he was treading on, my God, he just said, "You will tread on serpents and scorpions, over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing, if you drink anything deadly, nothing by no means shall harm you." So he had given us power to tread on over the enemy. When they were walking on the dirt, they were walking on victory. And people were seeing the oil following them from the priestly garments. And they knew that was the oil of gladness. And so when we see the woman that said, "If I could only touch the hem of his garment," and all she had to do was touch what they called the tallit. It was the last tassel that the priest wore. And that's all that was the word of God. She said, "That's all I need to touch. There's so much anointing in that if I could just touch that, I'll be healed." And so when she touched it, Jesus said, he felt that anointing being released. And he goes, "I felt virtue leave me." And, Lord, they're all touching you. No. Somebody touched me in a way that the anointing was released. And so that's what God is looking for, somebody that has a pure heart, who will see the Lord, who will stand in the holy place of the Lord, he that has a pure heart and clean hands. So God is looking for somebody that has a pure heart so he can release some virtue in their life. Because once virtue is left in your life, you might be bent over, upside down, but all of a sudden, guess what? The anointing comes and hits you. Then the blood, it was called an issue of blood. But once the issue of blood was resolved, and the blood that never loses its power, it's still the same. Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. That blood will never lose its power. And so it was an issue of blood that this woman was struggling. And once she found out, if I could just touch him, then I know the one that has the blood, in his blood, there's wonder-working power. If I could just touch this man, and he releases something to me. Once God releases something in our life, we could never be the same.
Pastor Ruben, let me say something here. There's a heart, someone, one soul is listening to this radio broadcast. Brother, just quickly, we're going off the air. Give a word to someone that's listening.
Father, right now I pray for any of those of your saints that are struggling, God, that are struggling with the faith, God, those that are struggling financially, God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would release the oil of gladness over their life, God. If there's someone out there bent over that needs a miracle, that needs a touch from you,
thank you, Lord.
God, we know that you're a healer, God. We thank you, God, because you're a healer today, tomorrow, and forever. So, God, I pray for somebody out there that needs a miracle, God, that needs a touch from your Holy Ghost that would make them whole, God. I pray, God, right now that you would release favor over their life, God. I pray that a blessing would come over their life, God, and their life would never be the same, God. So we thank you, God, right now for healing your people, God. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Loosen your anointing. Loose the anointing over them, God. Open the eyes of the blind right now. God, I pray for that person right now that needs a healing, God, over their eyes. Touch them right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray for those that are struggling with cancer, God. Send an anointing, God, that breaks yokes and delivers even cancer, God. God, I pray that you would arrest cancer in their body. Put chains and shackles like you did with the king, with the angels that are in darkness. I pray right now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I even pray, God, for those that have a race mind, God, those that are struggling, God, with demonic forces and principalities over their mind, God, I pray right now that they would only hear the mind of Christ, God, in the name of Jesus. That spirit of torment, that spirit of fear that tries to come and rule over their mind, in the name of Jesus, we break it right now. We loose the anointing over their life right now to make them whole, God, in the name of Jesus. We break every satanic force over the people
of
God, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Well, you've been listening to the voice of Pastor Ruben Bajo from Full Armor of God here in the city of Las Vegas. You're listening to, I am your host, Evangelist Jesse Charo, broadcasting live, also from right here, city of Las Vegas, on Las Vegas for Jesus Radio Hour. Stay tuned, and we will give you more information concerning ministry. You want to team up, you want to work with us, amen. Area code 702-931-1221. Let me repeat that. Area code 702-931-1221. Jesus loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. Come, let us pray with you. We are in a house of prayer, in a house of prayer. We'll give you more information as you call that number. We are for you. We are not against you. And for this new year, this is still January the 22nd, 2016. There is time to join this chariot. Amen. You need to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Amen. He is rooting for you. He has a plan and a purpose. It's to prosper you. And to give you the best he has in the name of Jesus, settle for second best. Amen. Jesus wants the best for you this 2016, January. And God bless you. And stay tuned for another broadcast right here. In Jesus' name, we pray for you. Amen and amen. God bless you, Pastor Ruben.
God bless you. See you soon.